Well, get you dismissed for children's church with Donna. Yeah, we did have a little excitement this last Friday night. We apparently Brooklyn Center had homecoming, and there are some kids that went out celebrating because they won the game, and or maybe not. But somebody started a fire on John's trailer out there with a couple hay bales, and so now there's a nice hole in the trailer. They busted up the soccer goals and just pulled mail out, just doing some silly things. Rearranged the sign, the letters on the sign out front. It's got a big glass door on it. I was out there Saturday morning cleaning this stuff up after the police had been here, and as I was working on the sign, rearranging the letters so that it didn't say things that it said. The wind caught the sign door and brought it down on top of my head. My vision went totally black. I didn't pass out, but I couldn't see for a few seconds there. So, you know, I was kind of listed to one side and wobbled a little bit as I walked after that. Harry suggested that I go see the doctor, because he'd come in for a membership class, and Gladys and Jesse kind of concurred with him. And so I called Donna and said, come get me, and she did. So I went to the doctor. So I wasn't here when the bulletin was done, when Nicole did it, so I had some stuff that was supposed to get put in that didn't get put in. So everything, but Nicole did come in and get the bulletin done, so we have something. But the stuff that needed to get in, you know, some of the stuff that needed to be done, I wasn't able to do. So, we're just kind of, praise God that nothing seriously was damaged, or I wasn't injured or anything like that. I mean, it was an inconvenience. The damage done is not good, but it's not, I mean, the trailer needs new plywood. You know, the goalposts were homemade and they need some new boards, but it's nothing of a significant issue. So we just, you know, praise God that that we're here being a light. You know, we see some of these things come against us and things happen. I don't want us to be discouraged about that in this community. Okay, we're being God's light here in this community. When these things like this happen here, we shouldn't say, oh, you know, people around here aren't any good or this or that. But no, we should say, well, we must be making a difference because we got this stuff happening here that, you know, the enemy's causing things to occur around here, so we just need to continue to pray. Now in 2 weeks, no, not 2 weeks, 1 week, next week, after church, we're going to do a prayer walk. There might be cause for prayer walks around here. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah, we do need to pray for our property and our facility and the ministries that go on here. There's a lot of ministry that goes on through Northbrook, through Monk Community, through the daycare that we're leasing space to, through Outpost Ministries, through various groups that come in and out. We've got our evening service refuge that's really touching some other people. There's a lot of people that are touched through ministry here, and this, we really need to keep this place under prayer cover. And this is just one illustration of why. I could have been seriously injured. I wasn't. Okay, I took the rest of the day off. I went, saw the doctor. He said, things get worse. If you get nauseous, give me a call. I'm fine. You know, I said, can I take a nap? Can I take some ibuprofen? He said, yes. So that's what I did. But seriously, I could have been injured. The glass could have broke and cut me up pretty bad or something like that. Could have got hit on the edge with the metal frame, and that could have sliced me bad. Instead of just the flat part hit my hard head and, you know, the two bounced. So those are some of the things that are going on. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. We need a lot of prayer. We want to continue to pray for one another and encourage each other and encourage the various ministries that are here, because we are together, one in Christ. Sometimes families forget that they are family, and they fight and they quarrel. Now, this is what happened in Israel. It was one kingdom. And then Solomon's kids had an argument. A couple of his kids decided that two of them should be king, and so they split up. You had the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. And they had this conflict. And what we're going to be looking at today is we're seeing the sister kingdom of Israel being taken to task by the prophet Isaiah as God speaks through him to tell them that he's angry at them and what they've been doing. And the split and the way that they've walked away from him and they fought with each other. So let's turn to the Word, Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read the rest of chapter 9, starting with from what we did last week, starting with verse 8, and right on through chapter 10, verse 4. Sounds like a lot, but it's really not that much. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. All the people will know it. Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria will say with pride and arrogance of heart, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars." But the Lord has strengthened Rezin's foes against them and has spurred their enemies on. Armenians from the east and Philistines from the west have devoured Israel with open mouths. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. But the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. So the Lord will cut off from Israel both head and tail, both palm branch and reed in a single day. The elders and the prominent men are the head. Head and tail. Both palm branch, the elders and prominent are the head. The prophets who teach lies are the tail. Those who guide this people mislead them, and those who are guided are led astray. Therefore, the Lord will take no pleasure in the young men, nor will he pity the fatherless and widows. For everyone is ungodly and wicked. Every mouth speaks vileness. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Surely wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets forest thickets ablaze so that it rolls upward in a column of smoke. But the wrath of the Lord Almighty, the land will be scorched and the people will be fueled for the fire. No one will spare his brother. On the right, they will devour but still be hungry. On the left they will eat, but not be satisfied. Each will feed on the flesh of his own offspring. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh. Together they will turn against Judah. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning? When disaster comes from afar, to whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe before the captives or to fall among the slain. For all this, yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Let's pray. Father, your word here today is frightening. And Lord, we ask for comfort. We ask for guidance and direction. We ask your Holy Spirit this morning would come to us and reveal to us your will in your word. Show us how we might apply it to our lives, the guidance we might take from it, the hope that is therein. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach, that you might speak through me and your people here encouraged and blessed. Father, let your word stand and your people bow. In Jesus' name, amen. Four times we have this sentence, yet for all this his anger is not turned away, his hand is still upraised. It binds this passage together. This is one prophetic speaking. This is Isaiah, who's in Judah, speaking about Israel, which is the northern kingdom, represented also and spoken of as Manasseh and Ephraim. And we're seeing some pretty stringent things going on. In the first section, what we see is that the people are filled with pride and arrogance. They've been told that there's problems. The brick is crumbling. The date trees are gone. And their response is, well, we're going to rebuild with dressed stone. See, dressed stone is much higher grade than brick. The brick of the day, remember, isn't this stuff that we have of today. Even today, dressed stone is considered higher grade than brick. A brick, you hit it, and it falls apart. You hit a dressed stone with a hammer, and it doesn't fall apart. A dressed stone is different than just a stone, because a dressed stone has been dressed, yes. Actually, the way that it's dressed, though, is that it's shaped so that it's more uniform of size, so that it fits together much neater, and you have a level, straight wall that you can build with this thing. There aren't the nooks and the crannies that you might have otherwise, protuberances. You know, if you just take and build a wall out of regular stones, it's actually fairly easy to climb up. But a dressed stone wall is smooth and can't be scaled. So it's more protection. It's more sturdy. The brick of the day, you know, a good heavy rainstorm could damage it. If it wasn't protected, where stone isn't protected. Doesn't need the protection from the rain. It really takes a long time for it to be affected through erosion. But brick, not so much. Now, you look at cedar trees versus fig trees. Cedar trees were the ones that, they take a long time to grow. And they're the ones that were the most prized. The ones that were the most valuable. So, our fig trees are fine. We're going to plant cedars. We're going to have better. See, they're saying, even though we've had these worst things, We're gonna make it better. And that was the problem. Their focus was on, we are going to make it better. They were full of pride and arrogance. They weren't looking at God and saying, God, will you provide for us? Will you help us? Will you care for us through these problems? They had other armies coming in and laying waste, and they're saying, in their pride and arrogance, they still weren't turning to God. In the next section, what we have here are false teachers and false bad leaders. People who know the truth, but aren't teaching it, aren't preaching it. People who know the way, but are leading their people astray. And God, through Isaiah, is telling us here that even the people that are being led astray are going to be held accountable for the fact that they've gone astray. It's not enough to say, well, I was just following my leader. I was just doing what my teacher taught me. That's not good enough. We have to make sure that our teachers are indeed teaching what they ought. That our leaders are indeed leading us where they ought. That they are all following God. That they are teaching actually God's word and not some perversion. Now, for the teachers and the leaders that are leading others astray, well, there are some special consequences for them. But what really, really struck me is here. Therefore, the Lord will take no pleasure in the young men, nor will he pity the fatherless and widows. For everyone is ungodly and wicked, and every mouth speaks vileness. Normally, it's the young, the fatherless, and the widows who are supposed to be the object of our benevolence. God tells us that he will test us by how well we... He will measure us by how well we deal with them. Are we helping the widows? Are we taking care of the fatherless? This is one of his injunctions to us. But here he's saying, the widows and the fatherless, I'm going to strike them down. They're vile. They're wicked. You know, it's a couple years ago now at this point, but I was over at Hardee's of all places, and there were some kids in there, and their conversation was, to put it lightly, poor. Okay? It seemed like they only knew one adjective, and it started with an F. And they used it a lot. And their conversation was loud. And I said, you know, guys, do you know any other adjectives? And they looked, what? This is just the way we talk. You talk that way around. Well, my mom talks worse than that. I'm like, okay, what about your grandma? Well, no, grandma'd have, she'd, if we did that. And I said, well, you know, why should I have to listen to that? You know that's... And they just kind of like, well, you know, everything that came out of their mouth was vile. God's word here is telling us that that's not okay just because that's what they were taught. That's what mom did, so it must be okay. No, it's not. I was doing just as I was taught is not a good defense. Didn't work in war crimes, trials. It doesn't work for us before God. We are responsible for learning ourselves. If I'm not teaching truth here, people, you are responsible to hold me to the fact. So you best be reading God's word in order so that you know it, so that you aren't being led astray. In the next section, we see that the wickedness has gone so far and they've been placed into such a situation. Usually it comes in time of siege where they're surrounded by the army and they have no resources, they have no food within the town, that they come short on food. And what often happens in some of these times is people resort to cannibalism to survive. And that's what they're saying is going to happen. Now, sometimes that cannibalism is real and actual, as in people actually eating one another in order to survive. Sometimes it's figurative. We see it in the business world. We see it in schools. We see it in social groups where we, if you would, figuratively eat our brothers and sisters or eat our young in order to survive ourselves. This is what's going on. Now, this is a society who values family above all other ties. This is the worst thing that can be done, is to do anything that will damage the family. And here what we see is that the family is going to turn on one another. Some literally eat their own, the flesh of their own children or survive. Instead of a parent seeking to sacrifice self to care for the child, which is the parent's role, a parent sacrificing the child so that they may survive. This isn't good. This is what the people are doing. This is the way they're behaving. This isn't much different than a lot of our society does today. People get abortions, sacrifice the child. Why? So they don't have to deal with the consequences. See? It's no different than what goes on today. And then we have the fourth section here. Or those who make unjust laws and issue oppressive decrees. We have those who are in positions of power and authority. And they're told that, you know, you're abusing your place of authority, your position of power, for benefit of yourself. And it's going to come back and it's going to bite you. You're going to come... There's going to become a time when you're going to need some help, and where are you going to turn? Because everybody else you have stolen from, you have harmed in some way. You've abused your power over them. You know, it's an amazing thing to see an army. You'll have one man stand up before tens, hundreds, thousands, and say, "This is what you're going to do." And they'll all do it. The problem is, if we have somebody who's in charge of that, and they're continually abusing their position of authority, one day the wheels will come off. And the things that were protecting that person in authority are gone. And now, instead of having an army around them to protect them, they're now the object of the army's anger. This happens in various countries, various places, where they have these uprisings, these coups. It's happened way too often in Africa of late. Liberia went through some of this in particular. I saw a video of one of the former leaders murdered by who? By people from Liberia who had formerly been under his authority. But that authority had been removed, been a coup, and he was killed. And not just Liberia, not just Africa. It's happened in all over the places. Happens in street gangs here in the United States. Happened in Mexico. We've got all these gang wars going on there. We've got people dying left and right. People are misusing authority and power, and then when there comes a time when they need help, there's nobody to go to. There's nobody that will help them or protect them because they have abused everybody around them. Those who abuse the power and their position to help others, they've got no help when they come to times of trouble. And that time is coming. And what's going to happen to them is, well, they're going to have nothing but to cringe among the captives or the fall among the slain. See, their power and authority is not going to be anything. They won't be different than anybody else. In fact, they'll be worse because they won't have anybody to help them through it. Okay, now, God has brought these judgments, this word against His people of Israel. Why is His anger not turned away? Why is His hand still upraised? Because they haven't turned. Okay, He has a covenant with them. These are part of the covenant people, His chosen people of Israel. He's brought prophets to bring them word of warning. They've not turned. They've broke, He's got a covenant. They're not following it. He brought prophets to say, hey, warning, warning, danger, you are not following the covenant. There's a consequence here. You are stepping outside of my blessing. Then He brings the rod of correction, where He brings famine, armies, distress of various types against the people in order to show them that what they're doing is wrong, so that they might turn from it. But the people have not returned to Him, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. Despite His bringing correction, despite His bringing discipline to His people, they are still in rebellion. When I spanked my children when they were young, I expected them to turn and say, I am sorry for what caused you to spank me. Why? Because that's what my father expected of me. And when I look at God's word, that's what I see we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to bring correction. And those who are corrected are supposed to look at what's wrong, recognize it, and turn from it and turn to the right way. When we're talking about a relationship between God and man, that's called repentance from sin. When we're turning from sin, turning towards God. Why is God's anger still there? Why is His hand still upraised? Because His people are still in rebellion. Now, we could be scared by this, but actually this should be a sign of hope. It means that God's not going to give up on us right up until the last moment, until He must bring judgment. Now here's the caution. God will continue to bring judgment, bring us discipline until that day of judgment. Well, when the day of judgment comes, we will have one choice. Will it be, He will ask us, what have you done with my son? And either we're following Him or we're not. He's either our Lord and Savior or He's not. But up until that time, He's going to continue to seek to turn us. Because He loves us. That's why His hand is still upraised. Because He will not back down from His discipline as long as His children are in rebellion. He wouldn't do it then, He won't do it now. And even though it hurts both Him and us, He will do what needs to be done and we'll see it through to the end. God's not giving up on us. He's not giving up on you. But we don't have an unlimited amount of time. None of us knows when we're going to go, when we will face that day of judgment. It's different for each and every one of us. There will come a final day of judgment where we, for all, but each of us, face an individual day of judgment at some point in time. None of us know when that is. Could have been mine yesterday morning out taking care of that sign. Could have. Don't know. Pastor Neil Yee's father died a month and a half ago. His mother died this last week. An aneurysm. She was fine when she was dead. Now, she'd lived a few years. But here we just had Vicki sharing with us how, was it your cousin or your niece? Your cousin. Cousin passed away at 28 years of age with cancer. God is continue to try to get our attention, to get us to change our ways, to follow Him and His Holy Spirit, to really receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that He doesn't have to use that raised right hand in judgment. He does it because He loves us. He's not going to give up on us, but neither is He going to let us get away with it. People, nobody gets away with it. So we need to turn from our sin and turn to our Savior. That His raised hand might be raised in blessing instead of anger. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You do love us. That Your word is indeed the truth. Lord, might we turn away Your anger by turning away from our sin and turning to You. Might we look to the lesson of Israel and learn. Might we see Your love and receive it for ourselves. Lord, might we indeed receive You as Lord and Savior. Might we follow You all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we'll be singing "There's Something About That Name."